Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hey folks, it's great to have you along for another episode of Ancient Future Faith. I'm Chris Alford, I'm the host of the program, also the pastor of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith evangelical church in Sacramento, California. We'd love to have you come worship with us, and I'm sure I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we go along. We love to bring you special guests and talk about things that have to do with ancient future faith. And one of my favorite guests is my friend and colleague, Dr. Ellen Kohler, who's with me in person today. Hi, Ellen. Welcome.
Hi, Chris. Thank you. It's always fun to be here and talk about the things we love so much.
I agree. I love having you in. And one of the reasons, well, the main one is because I just love you and we're buddies. But another reason is that you have doctoral degrees in about 17 different things. Do I have that about right?
No.
Well, but you're really smart.
No, my degree is in intellectual history, but I also have a minor in music.
So there's something we have in common as well, yes?
Yes, absolutely.
And today, Ellen, we are right in the middle, actually toward the end of the season of Lent, which, because we follow Lent at our church, is one of the things that makes us ancient future. Want to just say a word or two about Lent, and then you've got something on your mind today that I think might surprise people as being associated with Lent.
Yeah, I think that it will actually surprise people. First, a few words about Lent. Lent is one of the seasons of the liturgical year. It's probably one of the two that most people know best. The other one would be Advent.
Right.
There are some parallels between them. Advent is 4 weeks long. Lent is six. So it's a contained season, the same every year in its length. And we follow it traditionally. We do look at ways to take things off, put things off, maybe put things away like habits or indulgences. But that's so that we have space in our lives to put something on.
Yeah. Because most people think about Lent being something you give up, right?
Right. So that we have space to put on a new habit, perhaps, or a new discipline, or to look at some topic in a bit more specificity so that we can really become more like Christ. We often say that we are walking with him in his own footsteps on the way to the foot of the cross during Lent. And so in many ways, it's a journey, and we learn things about him, about ourselves, about others, about our relationship with him, about our relationship with the Trinity as we walk along on this journey. And so every year when we come to Lent, we tend to think, I don't really want to start this. But once we get into it, it's such a joy and such a strengthening time, such an encouraging time.
Yeah, I was going to say that I guess most people, well, at least might assume that Lent has to do with sadness and sackcloth and ashes. And of course, we do begin the season of Lent with an Ash Wednesday service. But there is space for what? Discovery and discipleship and joy and, as you said, encouragement. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. And we find those things all along the way in times of confession and times of the ways that we profess our faith and our interactions with one another, and in the scriptures that we look at, all of the things that come together to make this season very special and very meaningful. As we look at it in the ways that it takes us right up, it directs us to Resurrection Sunday.
Yeah, it is a journey that way, isn't it? We start with Ash Wednesday, which certainly is a penitent, reflective, thoughtful service, one of my favorite of the year, actually. Mm-hmm. And then we're taking this very deliberate set of steps, journey to Resurrection Sunday. And of course, that means that Lent incorporates all of the events of Holy Week as well. I'm going to throw you a curve. I'm sure you can handle it, though. Hit it right out of the park. It just occurred to me when you were talking about the benefits of Lent, well, my goodness, every church should, quote, do Lent. I think that churches ought to rediscover Lent. Why do you think they should? Do you agree? I think you probably do. And why?
Oh, I do. In my own upbringing, I went to a church that we did not observe Lent.
Yeah, me
neither.
Lent
was not a thing. You know, suddenly, we went from the high point of Christmas to the high point of Easter.
Right.
And there wasn't anything really deliberate about looking at the way that God marks time and look in the ways that Jesus lived out his life and why we might want to look more specifically at the last few months of his life before his sacrifice on the cross, his ransoming us for our sins, his rising from the dead. And then we actually follow an Easter season of about 6 weeks too, up until Ascension Sunday. And it causes us to think much more specifically about what we believe and why we believe it and how it forms us as Christ followers.
Yeah. Well, folks, there you have just a thumbnail sketch of what it means to be ancient future. This is what we do at Epiclesis. We're getting back into touch with old and sometimes ancient Christian traditions and finding and rediscovering the good that is in there. Because you know what, Ellen, we talk about this a lot. We live in such an upside down world. We are so tempted to value things that the world does or mark our time or priorities the way the world does. And here's Lent coming along as a wonderful opportunity. We get to reconnect with something from our Christian past and it reorients us.
Right. It's very countercultural. It allows us time to really focus on being formed in the image of Christ.
So what do you mean by that? How does that work?
Well, as we walk along with him and we look at his life, and especially, as I mentioned, those last few months, how he was teaching his disciples, what he was doing, how he was ministering to the people, and how deliberate he was about setting his face to the cross.
Yeah.
And walking straight into what his calling was. And that's a wonderful way for us to think about his redemptive power in our lives and how we can really bring that power to bear on our everyday lives.
And that's how it's formational. There's something about walking through the Christian year, walking along with Christ, and you start to take on his attributes. Folks, you're listening to an interview with Dr. Ellen Kohler. She is the associate pastor for worship and liturgy at Epiclesis Church. I'm the pastor there, and we'd love to have you come worship with us. I mentioned earlier, we meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 at 4600 Winding Way. Come visit, won't you? I'd love for you to see what ancient future worship really looks like. And by the way, I have a lot of other conversations that I've had with Pastor Ellen about what ancient future is, and all you have to do is zip over to the Epiclesis website and look at some of those podcasts to learn more. Ellen, we said a minute ago that here we are in Lent, and then at the outset, I mentioned that there was something you wanted to talk about today that folks might not associate with Lent. What is it? And let's get into it.
Well, I wanted to talk about encouragement.
Okay, and encouragement.
A couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to shepherd our women's gathering. We have a women's gathering once a month at the chapter house on Saturday mornings. And I kept thinking that I wanted to talk about encouragement, but the other side of me thought, well, I really should talk about something Lentish.
Lenty.
Yeah, Lenty. And I thought, okay, so we often say, be encouraged to observe a holy Lent. So I thought, okay, well, that works. But encouragement is good for all the time, right?
Sure.
We always need encouragement.
I do.
So what could specifically be for Lent? And I mean, on the one hand, we live, especially now, in a time where we've come through pandemic and ups and downs of lockdowns, and hopefully it's going to be over, and then there's another variant that comes along, and then we're told that we ought to have more vaccines or boosters or whatever, and now there's a war. And encouragement just seems so very timely.
I agree.
But it's also timely for Lent in another way that I hope will surprise our listeners.
Okay.
And we'll get to that in just a minute.
All right.
But first off, I think maybe a definition of encouragement
might
be in order.
A biblical, spiritual foundation for encouragement. Yeah, yeah. But
right.
Let's orient ourselves toward what the Bible says. Sure.
Yeah. Or even just to start out with what we think of encouragement. So,
okay.
Chris, if I asked you for your definition, what would you say?
Oh, I'd probably go to my East Tennessee roots, and I would say to prop somebody up on their leaning side.
That's perfect.
Does it work?
Yeah, and it's biblical too.
Okay.
You know, I think of it as encourage, like infuse someone with courage.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was fun to find the 15th century etymology of this word is to make strong or to hearten.
To hearten. I like that.
It's like encouraging plants in your garden. You feed them, you water them, you prune them, and the aim is to promote growth and health.
Wait a minute. Is that what I'm supposed to be doing all along with my plants in the garden?
Probably.
I've not been encouraging them.
But we also think of encouragement, of give support or confidence or hope, support and advise, motivate. I thought that was an interesting synonym for encourage. Help or stimulate to an activity or a viewpoint to develop, to make someone more determined. When I taught about this at our women's gathering, one of the women said, oh, it's like Reepicheep in the Chronicles of Narnia. He was the one who was so, you know, he needed his courage and he was the stalwart towards the end of the voyage of the Dawn Treader. I loved that image. So back to encouragement. We can encourage someone to the good.
Yes.
Or you can encourage someone to the bad. And there are a couple of interesting examples in the Bible of this.
Okay.
Joshua is an interesting one. Moses, towards the end of Moses' life, towards the end of Deuteronomy, he tells the people that they are to encourage Joshua because he will lead them into the promised land.
Yeah.
And I thought that was lovely, Lizzie. He will need encouragement, so make sure that you give it to him because he's not going to be able to do this without you rallying around him to prop him up on his leaning side, as you said.
That's sweet of Moses to do that, isn't it? He could have gotten all mad about not being able to go and maybe feeling a little, I don't know, less than because here's this new leader who's going to come along and replace me. But he says the most wonderful godly thing, encourage Joshua. I love that.
I also thought about the time when the Israelites, they hadn't been out of Egypt for very long and they were fighting with the Amalekites and Moses had his staff up on the top of the hill. And as long as he had his arms up in the air, right, then the Israelites prevailed. And when he couldn't do it any longer, well, he didn't have the strength himself to hold it up by himself. Then Aaron and Hur take the entire day and they hold his arms up.
Love it.
That's a wonderful picture of encouragement. There's also a really ugly picture of encouragement.
To the bad side, as you were saying.
I was, just doing a word search on Bible Gateway, and so Manasseh pops up, and it says, his advisors encouraged him to do more and more evil.
Wow.
Or Haman also pops up. Remember the story of Esther?
And
it says, his friend encouraged him and said, you know, you could get rid of Mordecai really easily. You just go build a gallows, and that'll take care of it all. So that's encouraging to the bad side. We don't want that.
No. So what kind of encouragement do we want then, Pastor Ellen?
Well, we want the kind of things that will make us stronger.
Yeah.
We want the kind of things that will make us more like Christ, that will make us more willing to follow his word, more desirous of prayer, more willing to allow ourselves to be sharpened, as in the iron sharpens iron. Friend sharpens friend, those kinds of things. I asked our ladies a few pointed things that structured some of the discussion, and here are the questions that I posed.
Okay.
What makes something encouraging? When do we need it? And when do we know we need it?
Oh, good question.
Which is a bit of a different question, right? Because sometimes we think, oh, I'm fine. And we even said, oh, I'm fine. I don't need anything. And we might even actually believe that. We might feel like we could use some help. But we feel like we can just muddle along or we don't want to show that we need something, even just a word of encouragement.
Sure.
So I think we need to be vulnerable.
But you know what? It occurs to me that that may be one place where we independent-minded, pull yourself up by your own bootstrap American evangelicals, that might be one of our worst attributes, right? The willingness to be accountable, to be vulnerable, to be transparent, because it's going to be hard to encourage somebody if they're keeping you at arm's length or if you're doing the same.
That's right. So, and a fourth question that I asked was, when do we know that we need to give it?
Oh, that's good.
Because we can be so very wrapped up in our own thoughts and our own problems and our own busyness and my next thing and my next thing and my next thing that we might notice something, but we don't necessarily take the time. You know, I was thinking just today about how something that used to be really encouraging for me is to get a note in the mail. Totally unlooked for. We hardly ever do that anymore. Some people have. I call this a ministry of note sending. Or card sending. And a few people do that. But, you know, even just taking the time to write a text or an email can be a real encouragement to someone.
Yeah, when they fly through your mind a little bit or something reminds you of them, or you can just stop yourself for a minute, which I think is also terribly important in all of this, and wonder about what that particular person whom you knew was going through something might need today. Yeah, I agree.
I know one thing that I really appreciate about you is that you take the time to call someone every day.
Usually every day, yeah. I try to.
That's so pastoral.
I met a woman yesterday, random, who was telling me about having moved here from a different city, and she was taking on a very sort of high-level job within the state government, and it was just busy, 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 and it sounded like she was under a lot of stress, and she kind of slowed down in a minute or two talking, and I said, "Are you taking care of you?" And she seemed both, stunned, surprised, and also deeply appreciative that somebody would just take the time to ask.
That is a huge thing, and I think that is a real hunger.
Let me pause just one more time to say, folks, you're listening to an interview with Dr. Ellen Kohler. She's my buddy. She's also my colleague. She's a pastor for worship and liturgy at Epiclesis Church. And you can learn more about Epiclesis Church by just zipping over to the website. It's E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S, epiclesis.org. Best of all, we'd love to have you come worship with us on a Sunday morning at 10:30 in Sacramento. Pastor Ellen, we're talking about Lent. We're talking about encouragement, and just before the break there, we were talking about, taking the time to think of others or being still long enough to think of others, and I posed the question about, well, what's the Holy Spirit's role in all this?
That's really an interesting point that you bring up, because that's exactly what surprised me when I went looking a little bit more deeply into the whole topic of encouragement.
Okay.
I thought, okay, so the first verse that came to my mind was 1 Thessalonians 5:11.
All right.
"Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you also are doing." Now, in this passage, Paul's been writing about the last days. He says, "Don't be fearful, be awake, be watchful, for God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him." And I went looking in Strong's Concordance to see what that word for encourage is, and it surprised me.
Okay.
It's parakaleo.
That sounds like paraclete.
It does indeed. And the meaning of that parakaleo is to call to one's side, like you're propping up on the leaning side.
Oh.
To call for, to summon, to address, to speak to, which may be done in a variety of ways: exhortation, entreaty, comfort, instruction, admonish, exhort. But it's paraklesis. Parakaleo is the verb for that. And it means calling near, summoning for help, for giving help, for consolation, comfort, and solace, which reminds me a lot of the passage in 1 Corinthians 14 where Paul's talking about the spiritual gifts and specifically about prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and consolation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The word there is paraklesis.
Oh.
Isn't that so sweet?
Oh, it is.
It's precious. So I thought, okay, so where we learn about the paraclete is in John chapters 13 through 17, mostly. He's the only of the gospel writers that I know of that uses the word paraclete in reference to the Holy Spirit. Okay. The other gospel writers refer to the Holy Spirit, but they don't use paraclete. The epistle writers use parakaleo and paraklesis to talk about encouragement and comforting and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But John really parses this out for us as who the Holy Spirit is and how he wants to minister to us. And I thought, well, if we look at who the Holy Spirit is and what he does for us, that will teach us a whole lot about being encouragers.
That is so good. You need to say it again.
If we look at the Holy Spirit and the way that he ministers to us and he teaches us and he encourages us, that will teach us so much about how we can be encouragers to others.
Yeah, that is so good. I was thinking a minute ago about how we often assume that we should imitate Jesus. And of course, that's true. You remember the old bracelets, WWJD, what mm-hmm. would Jesus do? But when it comes to encouraging, we need to have a what would the Holy Spirit do
I love
bracelet.
That. Yeah. Let's make bracelets like that.
Okay.
I think that would be
well,
that'd good.
Be WWTHSD. So we look at the behavior and the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, we emulate that by encouraging others.
Absolutely. You know, if we even just look at the various words and names that are translated paraclete in the various versions mm-hmm. of the Bible, we find all of these: comforter, teacher, advocate, guide, helper. The Amplified Bible adds counselor, intercessor, strengthener, and standby. It's such a beautiful way that John reels this out for us to see. At the end of John 13, Jesus has just told the disciples he's going away, and they can't come, at least not yet. He's going to prepare a place for them so that they can be with him forever. In John 14, verses 16 and 17, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, so that he may be with you forever. The helper is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him.
Oh, wow.
But you know him, because he remains with you and will be in you.
What a gift, people. What a gift, Christian friend, that our brother Jesus has given us in the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Ellen, it occurs to me that another way that encouragement can be seen as a Lenty thing, as a Lentish thing, is you were saying earlier that Lent, yes, is a time to put something off, but we do so in order to maybe make room to put something on. And maybe this ministry of encouragement through the person and work of the Holy Spirit is exactly what we ought to take on for Lent.
Oh, I think that's a wonderful idea.
So as we think about this idea of taking on encouragement in our remaining moments, Ellen, let's take a look at WWJD and what did he do and what did he say about encouragement to the disciples so that we can take on some of these encouraging things through the power of the Holy Spirit.
This is Jesus' last teaching. It's often called the Farewell Discourse. It's on the night of Maundy Thursday when he says, love one another as I have loved you. This is how the world will know that you're my disciples. And he knows that the disciples are going to need courage. He starts off, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. He has just told Peter that Peter's going to deny him three times before the cock crows. And then he says immediately, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. Believe in God, believe also in me. I'm going to prepare a place for you filled with wonders, and you will be with me. But the disciples think, I want to come with you. I'll be lonely and timid and lost without your presence. And Jesus says, you can't come now, but I'm preparing this place for you. Plus, I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper. He'll teach you all the things and bring to your remembrance what I've said. And they think, but please don't leave me. And Jesus says this sweet thing, I will not leave you as orphans. I'm coming to you. My Father will love you, and we will come to you, and we will make our abode with you. But change is scary. Change is uncomfortable. And Jesus says, oh, by the way, the Father's going to prune you.
Yeah.
You're going to have to give up a few things, but it will be good for you. It will encourage you. But I don't like it when people criticize me. It's scary when people say unkind things. And then Jesus says, yep, the world will hate you just as it hated me. But the helper, the Spirit of truth, will testify about me, and so will you. You'll have my words in your mouth. That's what will help you. He's telling them what they will need. In the world, you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world.
Ellen, this encouraged me today. How about you?
It encouraged me to talk about these things, just to remind myself of Jesus' words.
Well, I have to say, every time you come our way for an interview here on Ancient Future Faith, it's encouraging to me. I know you encourage the members of our church through your ministry. And thanks for sitting down today for another conversation.
My privilege and my joy. Thank you, Chris.
Folks, until we gather for another episode of Ancient Future Faith, I want you to be thinking about this. Surely, the road to our Christian future does run through our ancient Christian past. Until next time, be encouraged. And the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hey folks, just a minute before you go. Lent has begun, that historic period in the life of the Christian church when we focus on putting things off and putting things on in preparation for Easter. Let me invite you to make worship at Epiclesis a part of your Lent this year. And by the way, our small groups have just recently launched a study, and there's still time for you to jump in and participate. As always, get more details on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next time for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.